This is a Deese World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
Is this just a situation where you're going to cut a bunch of our blurbs out of context?
No, because then there would be blisters in awkward places, which would be terrible.
Oh, here we go. That is the dirtiest thing I've ever seen.
Listen to The Nerd with Adam, Will, and Amanda.
Why did I get top billing? I don't deserve top billing.
Because out of the two of us, you're the one she likes better.
Aw, man. I mean, yeah.
I'm 8 months pregnant. Put another one in me.
And that's when she figured out that I had taken drugs.
How are all of you? We're going to do a promo, but we're just going to talk sex.
I got to see your dick.
Aw, man. I mean, yeah.
She cooked dinner for me in lingerie, which hopefully she doesn't listen to this. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that.
This podcast phenomenon is sweeping the nation, and we're all up on the bandwagon with the plethora of episodes at nerd.pantspending.com.
Willem Dafoe gives me a lady boner.
Blue Chew is bullshit, by the way.
Listen to The Nerd. It's not the worst thing that can happen to you. Is that a good no? It takes effort to do a promo.
Yeah.
And I think we knew that before.
Although I feel like we could just put that part in.
Yeah.
That along with the nerdy thing Adam said and me with the sexy voice. There you go. There's your promo, Will. Congratulations.
The Nerd. I'm sorry.
You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
Fucking 14-year-old cop! This is bullshit!
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Deese World Studios in Spokane, Washington. This is The Social Hour. On today's show, Sam Vinovich returns for Sam's Snarky Cinema Review with Sophie Tomey on the news. And now your host. He hopes that they can finally talk about his favorite movie of all time, Snow Dogs, Deese Casillas.
Malav Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am Deese. Thank you for coming back for another episode with me, as always. Sophie Tomey, how you doing?
Fantastic.
Fantastic to hear that. And making his long-awaited return to the show, Sam Vinovich. Sam, how you doing?
For me, yeah. The action is the juice.
I don't know what that means, but... all right, we are here. We're going to talk movies. We've been waiting to get Sam back to talk some movies. I finally
saw all the movies, and I'm here to tell you about it. They're not good.
No, they're not good.
Yeah.
I will say this.
It was a failed social experiment, the movies, and we're over it.
Turns out we don't like them any. We don't like them moving pictures no more.
Nope. Well, unless it's prestige TV. We love that.
I have to tell you, so when Sam got here, I started making a list of the movie that I've seen this year. Mm-hmm. And the movies coming out that actually had, like, mm-hmm. not even that I necessarily want to see, but movies of note, I guess. And I realized that out of all the movies I've seen this year, God damn, it is a sad, sad day.
Like, it's been pretty rough. It's been pretty rough. I literally, like, hadn't seen any movie from this year until about 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah, because nothing really made me want to.
You know, I...
Like, Us is kind of the only thing, I feel like, from this first half that felt like a must-see.
Sure.
And like, we're a little past the halfway point of the year so far, and there's been a couple other things. Like, we were talking about Midsommar before we started recording, and we're about to talk about in a little bit Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but it's felt like kind of like a pretty limp,
pretty
first
rough
half of the year.
And I'm looking at the stuff coming, and man, it doesn't get better. Arguably, it gets worse. I saw a number of, I've probably seen,
I don't know, man. I got a handful of
of ones you want to see.
Of ones I'm looking forward to.
Well, here's the thing I will say. Sam is much better at finding the gems
absolutely
in films that I don't necessarily...
I don't know. You, though, you have a broad taste where you like weird experimental indie films like Venom.
Yeah, that was a killer.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys heard of it. A little studio.
Tom Hardy's like Marvel. Kind of like most understated performance.
That's true. He was really good as the symbiote, as the guy trying not to have an accent.
Yeah, as the reporter, recording a 60 minute style interview, and he just like has his notepad out with his pencil. He's like, "Oh, why don't you tell me about this?"
Like it's the 1940s. Yeah. So the thing is with here's the difference. So Sam is good at finding gems that are actually like not big releases that are good movies that like that kind of pass by my radar because I don't look for trailers. I don't watch CTV. I don't like know of the things that aren't unless they're like
the zeitgeist.
Yeah, I don't. Those things don't.
You're not kinda, tapped in.
Not at all. But like the big stuff that comes and goes, but I will say like movies like Venom, which I did enjoy.
Sorry, that was the sound of me like puking in my mouth.
Don't get me wrong. It was not a good movie.
No, I'm literally just gonna lord this over you the entire time I know you.
I enjoyed it for what it was. It was a schlocky action adventure. It was exactly what I thought it would be. Like I didn't have expectations like Venom is gonna rock my world as like it's gonna change the cinematic the way movies
I don't know
are
man
made.
You showed me you're ready to get the tattoo. You had the Venom face right there on your you're buying heavy in Venom.
That's I'm all in. I can't wait for the next one.
Yeah, which is apparently happening.
Yeah,
and Tom Hardy's signed on for it.
Yeah,
I think
Tom
I heard.
Hardy's signed on for it. Apparently,
very
Tom
exciting.
Holland's going to be in it as Spider-Man.
Okay, great.
And also, Woody Harrelson is playing Carnage as per
that's
the
right.
ending of the as Sophie. I feel like I'm just echoing what Sophie told me last night while we were hanging out.
Totally.
She's a big Venom fan.
Yeah, she's like, no, if DC just makes these few changes, they can be just as big.
They can nail it.
They can.
They've got no shot.
No, but that's kind of the thing now is for someone like you where you're kind of, you hear about the big tentpole things.
Yeah.
It's kind of always the same thing now. It's Marvel movies and Star Wars.
It is. And I do want to talk about both those things that have happened this year and are happening this year and kind of where we're at with them. And don't get me wrong, I like finding smaller films, and there's ones that Sam is recommended me. I've watched, I've enjoyed. I mean, one of my favorite movies I've seen in the last few years is Whiplash. Like that's that's a fantastic movie.
So love Whiplash.
I can appreciate a good movie when I find them. I just don't find them often. And like
for sure,
the subject matter's got to be right for me too, and it's really got to jump out at me. I think we both kind of agreed about last year, A Star Is Born. I never saw it. I don't think you ever saw it.
I never. I haven't seen it yet.
I saw it. This is probably the one thing I could talk about.
Bradley Cooper, how dreamy.
How was it, Sophie?
Oh, my God. Bradley Cooper is so dreamy. No, I'm just kidding.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was good. I never saw, like, the original. I think that it was for a lot of people. I went in, like, a big group, and I don't know, like, people are so affected. Everybody was crying at the end of the movie except for me. Is like a really sad
you're dead
scene
inside.
At the end. I am.
I kind of am, except for like when it comes to either like movies or my personal relationships. Everything else, though, it's just like fucking whatever. But like movies will get me or when people hurt my feelings.
Okay. So the guy, spoiler alert, Bradley Cooper, like...
Damn, he's the guy in this
he
one.
Plays, he like... kills himself at the end, and that's supposed to be the sad part. But the saddest part for me was when the dog was waiting outside, like wanting him to be there.
The saddest part for me,
that
too.
It was, but I mean, overall, like, I don't know. It's.
I want to see it.
It was good. Like,
I mean, I don't know.
They're all talented.
Like, the thing is, like, I've heard that that's a good movie. I've heard that from people whose opinions I like respect and I look for their opinions on movies and they've said it's good. My whole thing though is I just like as someone who hasn't seen it but then saw like its success and everything, I just thought Bradley Cooper was kind of like kind of annoying about it. It's like, hey, I'm a fucking singer-songwriter now. I'm going to play these songs anywhere I can.
He's like really precious about it.
Yeah, exactly.
I did not know about that. That's weird.
And it's just one of those things where it's like, okay, just slow your roll, bud. Yeah.
It just seemed like one of those movies that you're supposed to see because you're supposed to see
it. It definitely was like Oscar season type of movie, Oscar baity. But like, I want to see Green Book, even though that looks pretty generic. But I like that actor, and he won the fucking Oscar.
Yeah.
Who is it? I haven't even heard of
Marshala Ali. He was in the newest season of True Detective. He's been in a bunch of different stuff, but he kind of, that Green Book kind of broke him big. He was in Moonlight.
Yeah, there's a lot of movies too, though, if I don't make it to them in the theater, it's like I'm never going
to
see them. Like, I'm just never going to, it's just time and finding it, and like, you know, like, do I want to dig it up?
Dude,
I
mean, I have a big problem with this with movies and video games, where it's just like the selection is so huge that I'll spend 45 minutes going through and adding films to my queue to watch later, and then be like, well, I don't have enough time to actually watch a movie now because I spent 45 minutes.
I'll just watch The Office again.
And then when not The Office, but and then when you're like finally gonna go sit down to watch a movie, or at least for me, it's like, well, now I have to look at my queue and there's a million things.
Yeah.
And I have like five streaming services that I just have like different people's logins for.
There's
so it's
five?
Like,
I didn't know there were five.
Well, there's Netflix, HBO, Hulu,
Amazon.
So there's four right there. And then, like, I guess if you count YouTube or, like, Google.
Like Voodoo or Crackle. Or
something. No.
I think, didn't we watch a movie on Voodoo or Voodoo?
Yeah, we did. We watched Trolls 2.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I introduced Sophie to Trolls 2 and The Room.
Which, what is up with that movie?
The Room? That's just, it's, I don't know.
That is just, like, a glorified soft porn.
Yeah.
It's literally just like a rich idiot.
Yeah.
It's just like a total rich idiot jackass.
So we ate a bunch of mushrooms the other day and then went to watch and then watched
and then watched The Room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, which is probably the only way to watch that movie.
Well, we were coming down by that. It was the evening. We were just kind of hanging out. And we're like, but I'm like, I hadn't seen it in a long time and I forgot how
I've never watched it all the way through.
Little happens. You're like,
yeah, no.
You forget how little of a plot. I don't even know what the plot is.
This
to
is
Yasiel.
The plot.
I don't.
Well, dude.
She doesn't even love him. She doesn't want to talk about it.
Oh, yeah,
and then he kills himself.
She keeps bringing stuff up. The blonde lady, right. Lisa, she keeps bringing stuff up, and then people ask her questions. She's like, I don't want to talk about it. It's like, what are you bringing it up for then, you bitch?
Just like, and then it's just another like six or seven shots of San Francisco, another sex scene, and then she just will talk about it again and say she doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
That movie, I get the appeal of watching. Like, I'm totally down for a hate fuck with a movie.
Yeah.
I could see that being really fun with a live audience. You know, they do a bunch of those showings.
Sure.
But, like, it's just so bad. Like, it's just too, it's too bad for me to enjoy.
It was, I don't know, I had fun watching it.
It was fun to watch. It was so bad.
But I also, like, watched it by myself, like, the first time. And I was like, fuck this. And then we have started it before, but it's like we get tired of it before it. You know,
there's definitely moments where you're like, I don't know if I can.
Yeah.
The half the script must be him talking about like describing establishing shots.
Right.
Because if they move rooms within the same house, they do an establishing shot of the building again. And then
like, same building.
Yeah, you didn't go anywhere. You don't have to do an establishing shot again.
It'd be great if there's just the time showing up in the bottom corner.
It's like the 24.
It's just like.
it's really bad, but it was fun. That was fun. And Trolls 2 is always fun. You know.
Okay, so this isn't the CG fucking.
No.
Okay. This is like the old 80s. Is it 80s, right? 80s.
It was like, I think it was probably made like late 80s, but released in like 91 something like that. Yeah, like just hit the cusp. But you could tell it was definitely shot in the 80s because that thing was like in.
Some people say the 90s didn't start until Trolls 2 came out.
They
were like, we have to get the fuck away from whatever that was.
It was like it's always referenced Trolls 2 and Nevermind. Yeah, that's what kind of started the
90s. Point Break. Yeah, those were it.
I really this is why I feel like I have no authority on movies, because both of those movies, I know how horrible they were, but I really liked watching
enjoying
both of them.
Them enjoying them. Yeah. That's why I personally, I would rather watch Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull over Temple of Doom, because I think Crystal Skull is just, it's more fun to make fun of. Like, it gives you more to work with. Like, Temple of Doom, it's just like, wow, she's super fucking annoying.
Oh, Temple of
Willie in it. It's just like, oh my God, she's so annoying. She's ruining this movie.
She still sucks.
Yeah. But, and then you know, every now and then you're like, oh wow, look how racist that is. That's funny.
Yeah.
And then, oh my God, she's back. She's so annoying. Where Crystal Skull, it's just like a fucking fever dream.
You know, I don't think I ever went back after watching the theater and gave it another whirl, so maybe I should sometime.
So I never did either until... You didn't do it because we did a podcast on the Indiana Jones series.
Oh, you're right. I did.
Because I hadn't seen it since the theaters either, and then I rewatched it with Tom.
That's how forgettable
it was. And it was just,
and
it was like one of the most fun times I had watching a movie with just me and Tom, because we both love Indiana Jones so much.
Right.
And then just like, oh my God, this thing is just dog shit.
That's the worst. Yeah. Yeah. There is something about bad movies. I will say, I've said that for a long time. Like, bad movies, there's a bad movie, and then there's movies that are so bad they transcend being bad and come full circle, and you can find enjoyment in them like that. Mm. What is some of your... Because we've got a list of other bad movies we're going to watch. Carnosaurs is one of them. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with Carnosaurs?
I've heard the name. I don't know anything about it.
It was like it's a Roger Corman.
Okay.
And like, you know, he's in all those shit movies, and it was released right after Jurassic Park. And there's like literally a scene where you can see see part of the guy.
I think I've seen like clips from this. Yeah.
Graham, there's a couple other ones. What's one of your some of your favorite bad movies?
So I don't go out of my way to find like bad movies to watch. Mm-hmm. That's like a thing definitely, but it's never been like a thing for me. Like the Crystal Skull, I think is just, I like that style because it's like a huge budget and it's this guy that has shown to be a competent filmmaker before just totally unravel. Like versus just like, oh, this is like a cheap,
it's a
badly made movie.
No one ever thought
by someone who doesn't know what they're doing.
Yeah,
I like that. It's like, you know, the fucking Star Wars prequels. Those movies are fucking terrible.
Yeah.
And the fact that this guy theoretically made, you know, some of the biggest movies of the 20th century and then makes this dog shit.
George Lucas, and I think we've talked about this.
He
has a hand in things, but him as a full filmmaker director is not.
Right.
Every
movie except for those prequels, multiple people have names and credits associated with them, and then even like rumor, like with his wife at the time, who was, you know,
Kathleen Kennedy,
Oscar-winning screenwriter.
Yeah,
so
what did he in the first Star Wars? Like they went to Tunisia to film, and it was so foggy they couldn't even film all this crazy shit. I sound like Sophie again now. I'm just saying what she's thinking.
Do you remember that movie, Southland Tales? The Rock, Sean William Scott,
no.
A bunch of SNL people, a bunch of comedians.
Damn.
Justin Timberlake is in it.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I
forgot what this... I think this guy directed something right before this that was pretty big, and then this was like his
baby.
And my family rented it back when you rented movies. This would have been early 2000 still.
Sure.
Like, rented the DVD. And I just remember me, my dad, and my brother just watching it and just laughing at all of it. It was so dumb. It was so bad. I've always wanted to rewatch it to see. Because it's like super satirical and thinks it's like super smart and deconstructing like capitalism and all this shit.
Yeah.
And there's like literally a scene where it's like this CEO guy at a car manufacturing truck giving this presentation on their new SUVs, and like the animated SUV crawls onto the other SUV and like fucks it up the tailpipe. And it's like this really insane like fever dream that thinks it's like this biting satire.
Yeah.
And it's just insane. And I remember having like just the funnest time watching it, but even being like 12 being like, this movie's dog shit.
Well, that was a weird time too in the early 2000s when people were like trying to find this new edge in filmmaking. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and things like not long after Fight Club and stuff like that, kind of David Fincher type type stuff where people are trying to get like dark but witty, and you know the Coen brothers are killing it, and like, oh, right. I'll make this thing, and you got whatever, like Guy Ritchie's weird humor of, you know, leaking into movies. And
yeah, it's kind of like this culmination of like all the coolest and flashiest elements of like popular 90s stuff, and then just like kind of like, but at this point there's a lot of money behind it,
right?
And there's like, you know, the business has changed to try and make those movies
some weird postmodernism of like,
yeah.
Well, let's
so yeah, let's talk about this year though.
Okay, where do you want to start?
I say let's start at the beginning of the year, and just okay. kind of this first half of the year. Like I said, nothing's really grabbed me. I did see Us, and I liked it quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it more than Get Out. Like,
I liked it a lot more than Get Out, but I don't really like Get Out. I liked Us. I didn't like the ending quite as much. It was a little too ambiguous, but I get it. Like, it just kind of stopped, which is fine. But
my problem with Us is the ending also, but it's just like they explain too much. It's yeah. like,
I didn't think they explained enough. Oh, I had so many questions.
I thought it was too much. When it's like literally like the woman like explaining exactly what happened,
right.
and then it's also just like, so what I liked about that movie is just like the atmosphere. Like, Get Out's supposed to be like this kind of like horror movie, and it definitely has horror elements, but I was never that scared during it,
yeah.
or never felt in Us. I had like that feeling in the pit of my stomach the whole time, just like, okay, when's the other shoe gonna drop? When's this shit gonna go down?
Yeah.
And then when it does, it's just like all the imagery is just so fucking cool and like provocative, and it's just like, oh my god, this is just like really crazy looking. And all the performances are fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
I love that family. Like, the dad.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The dad almost goes into the same territory as the friend in Get Out, where it's just like, oh, this comedy undermines, like, the tone of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, that guy almost ruins Get Out for me. His friend
who comes to like
the TSA yeah. agent, like,
yeah,
it just doesn't, it feels like
it doesn't match,
it's like a sketch comedy
the,
character,
yeah, it doesn't match the rest of the movie,
yeah,
at all. It's like, the one element that you're like, this,
yeah, thing. It's like, oh look, it's like archetypical black movie character,
yeah.
in this, but it's like, man, I don't need, like, it shifts tone too dramatically to make it,
definitely, yeah. I agree with you there. That definitely stood out to me also in both movies, a little bit more so than in Get Out. But
the dad almost gets there for me, but he's also just kind of like a dorky dad.
Yeah.
And then the fact that all these actors are playing their opposites in the doppelgangers,
right?
And it's just like, oh, this is so good. And that main woman, she's just so good in it.
What's her name?
I looked it up and heard it pronounced once, but I would butcher it right now.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Get Out, really. I liked Us more.
I think it's just like a tense film. And there's obviously a lot of subtext and visual metaphor and stuff, and I don't know that it really pans out to much. But it's like it makes for interesting images when you're watching it. And
right.
like, okay, so it... maybe like he's referencing so many different social things where it's just like, this just doesn't feel like you're actually saying anything.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's interesting when you almost gets murky in mm-hmm. the fact that it is this kind of interesting horror movie also, and trying to tie too much social commentary in it is like, well, am I focusing on the social commentary or the horror aspects of it? Am I trying to just follow this as a film?
That's so like, that's what I did when I was watching it, and it was just like, well, what does this mean? What does this mean? And then it's just like, man, just fucking watch the movie
yeah.
and enjoy the experience of watching the movie, and then ask these questions later and see if you can, you know, answer them for yourself. And when you just watch it, I think it's very enjoyable. And yeah, just that ending, it just kind of gets a little too ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I think it just like overstates itself. And it's just like, no, man, just make it vague. Let our imaginations fill it in.
Right.
But
it almost would have been better if once they have the reveal that the girls were switched, like, you just kind of let it end from there, and mm-hmm. just kind of like, what
and it's like you could see that whole underground suburban shit, but like you don't need to show me like them like following along with people up above and like mimicking this ride. Yeah. It's like, it's like this doesn't make any sense, but like visually it's a cool image, and it's just one of those things where it's just like, and like the, like her being switched, I think for the most part it makes sense with her character, because that's like the big twist at the end.
Yeah,
is the fact that she switched with the doppelganger, and the doppelganger's been living that whole life up above, and she's been stuck, the real one's been stuck down there. And but it's just one of those things where it's like when they explicitly say it, your mind's backtracking for the rest of the film trying to make sure that that makes
sense.
Rectifies,
kind of.
And yeah, and it just kind of like totally takes you out of it. But I mean, I still enjoyed it. Elizabeth Moss as Tim Heidecker's wife,
yeah,
she is so good in it. When she's doing all that freaky facial shit with her, when she's the doppelganger,
oh
that,
yeah,
like that shit.
That was definitely good. Everyone was great in it. The young kids, the
daughter, I thought was kind of, the daughter and the mom were the two standouts for me.
That was one of the better ones. And again, I don't think I liked it for the same reason most people liked it, but it was fine.
You didn't like it because black people were in the movie?
No, not black, just too many black people. I mean, some is fine, but I mean, what is the movie about?
Starring.
Was this a basketball movie? What are we doing here? Come on, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, put Hoosiers on.
Yeah. We play, listen.
Fundamental basketball.
Pick and roll, lay it up like a gentleman.
The 3-point line ruined the game.
What about, I don't think we've talked about Glass. How did you?
I
feel
haven't
about
seen
Glass?
It.
Okay,
I kind of don't care.
Don't.
I've heard bad things.
It's not good.
It's the absolute worst.
Did we go see that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
And that sucks because I wanted that to be like this cool stealth trilogy thing,
right?
You know, with with Split and Unbreakable and shit.
Split was super cool.
Split
was really good. That's why I was like, okay, I was.
And Unbreakable's, I think, arguably his best movie.
I think so too. I would say absolutely it's his best movie.
I haven't seen a lot of his films though.
I
like Signs.
I started watching Lady in the Water the other night on Netflix. I got about 15 minutes in and I'm like,
The Happening.
Holy
so The
shit.
Happening, that's a bad film that I do want to watch. Something just like, because I've just heard references to it before, you know, and just like Mark Wahlberg talking about the bees.
I did not see that one.
I
want to
see it. I want to see it.
Yeah, that one I've not. The one with Mark Wahlberg and the trees. It's the trees or
Zoe
whatever.
Zoe Deschanel, I think.
Yeah, was she in that too?
I think so.
So you didn't see Glass.
I didn't see Glass. Whenever it's on streaming, I'll watch it, but I've heard bad things. I fucking did some Marvel catch up.
Okay.
I watched Infinity War. Again, I have seen that one. And then I watched Captain Marvel. Marvelous Captain Miss Marvel.
She's a
stand-up
hero
comedian
to women
in
everywhere.
1930s New York. Captain Marvel. I literally can't remember what it is called.
And did you see, what about Spider-Man?
No, I didn't see Spider-Man. I saw Endgame.
And you saw Endgame.
Avengers Endgame.
And what did you, let's not include Dark Phoenix since that's X-Men in the Marvel.
I haven't seen it.
It was bad. It's real bad. How did you feel about the Marvel movies this year?
So, I think for a long time, I've been vocal about how I'm just kind of tired of Marvel.
Yeah.
And their movies.
I think I've heard you mention
it's
in
just,
passing.
It's just fucking TV at this point, right?
Right.
Where it's just like all these episodes with cliffhangers and the same structure, and it's all working towards this fucking like a big season event, like, oh, it's the two-parter end of the season bullshit. So Captain Marvel.
Yeah, Captain.
I thought that movie was just fucking boring.
Like, really?
I just found it really boring. Hmm. I didn't like what's her face?
Brie Larson.
I'm a fan of Brie Larson. I really like her and stuff, and I thought she couldn't handle the timing
being
of the
star
humor.
Of a movie.
Yeah, being like this quippy superhero and being heroic, like it just kind of fell flat on all sides for me. And I mean, like, She just looks stupid when she's fighting with all the CG around her, like when she's like flying
her
in space
and stuff.
Yeah, with the helmet and yeah. like and specifically just like the CG laser shit coming yeah. out of her hands. I think it looks bad.
Okay.
And Samuel L. Jackson, he looks okay. I kind of like how they de-aged him, sure. but they didn't try and make him like this felt young badass. It's like, okay, since we can't completely change your body, you're gonna kind of be like a different type of character than you normally play.
Yeah.
I like Ben Mendelsohn, but and I like how he's normally a villain and he's like the villain for like the first third of this, and then they do this little flip.
Sure.
But then it's just like you kind of just don't care about the conflict, you know.
I personally I liked Miss fucking Jesus Christ,
Marvelous Marvel.
I liked Carol Danvers.
Okay.
The
black friend. I thought that was a really bad actress. I thought she did a bad job.
I don't remember. Maybe that
she just
was bad.
Like she acts a lot with like her eyes and like showing her teeth.
It's very dramatic.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed Captain Marvel. That one was fun for me. Endgame was long and boring and not.
Endgame was long and just a mess. It was super messy. Like I remember coming out of Infinity Wars, just being like, "That's crazy how well paced that movie is."
Yeah.
Like it's just like propels you through it, and with all those characters. And this one just felt like a fucking slog.
Well, and it didn't need to be as long as it was.
Most movies don't.
Well, that's true. And it very much was. It felt like all right, like I need to watch this to figure out how this ends. But also, like I kind of don't care. It's uh-huh. like okay, you know, Captain America's gonna die, or Iron Man's gonna die, and
yeah.
So,
I mean, like the.
Anytime you get time travel involved, too, it's going to get a little murky and be weird. And
yeah, I think you just can't get hung up on that when it's implemented. Like, people try and, like, always try and suss it out. And it's yeah. just like, well, as far as we understand it, it's impossible. So stop trying to, like, force movies to figure out a perfect
how
way to
works.
Do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know, just I didn't feel that much for it. Like, I kind of was falling asleep during parts of it. Like, my biggest problem with like Marvel heroes is how like stupidly selfish they are. It's always like, okay, we got to sacrifice, you know, we're doing this to save the world. And then as soon as someone they love gets hurt or gets involved, it's just like, yeah. I got to fucking just be a big dumbass and be obstruct. But it's just so annoying. And, yeah. and of course, like Tony Stark has to do that with his daughter in this thing. And it's just this, I don't know. I don't even remember that much of it at this point. The one thing that really pissed me off, though, was they fucking cut off Thanos' arm at one point in this movie. And it's just like, what the fuck? Why don't they just cut his arm off in the first movie? Doctor Strange has literally cut off limbs of minions with his portal, and we've established that you can cut this arm off.
Yeah.
Like, fuck off.
I think, well, it didn't. Thor have a chance, or someone had a chance in the first movie in Infinity War, and they blew it. I think is what happened.
No. Well, I mean, they're gonna pull the glove off, and then they found out. Yeah, he found out some. Peter Quill found out that Gamora died, so he like attacked Thanos when they were about to get the glove off.
Yeah.
No arms were attempted to be severed, okay. like they should have been.
So they could have thought it out better.
And I mean. There were characters, like, was Doctor Strange even in, how long was he in Endgame? 2 seconds?
Yeah, not a lot. But I mean, when you have that many characters, too, how do you can only do so much.
Jeremy Renner's Hawkeye is out of control in this movie. It's terrible. Just everything he's doing is terrible. He thinks he's this fucking badass, and it's just like, oh my god, dude, you're like a cringy dad. Like, stop it.
Poor Jeremy.
Oh my god, dude, I cannot stand him in this thing. He pisses me off.
Yeah.
Oh, my wife died.
So what about
get this weird mohawk thing?
What's next for him for Marvel in the next phase?
Well, they fucking named it all, right?
Yeah.
You're like a comic book guy. Did any of it catch your fancy?
No, it all seems like more of the same.
It's just like, I don't care anymore.
I am interested in bringing the X-Men over to the universe, how it's going to plan.
I guess. Like, honestly, I'm interested to see who they cast as Wolverine. I want to see what the new Wolverine looks like, because, like, Hugh Jackman is so tied to that character.
They keep, there's been, like, rumors that Keanu Reeves, man.
He's too old.
But Wolverine's
old. I want a young, sexy Wolverine.
You don't think Keanu Reeves is still sexy?
He still looks young.
Yeah. Not that young.
He's still sexy, though.
He wears it in his face. You can tell he's got an old soul.
they don't cast huge names like that for that type of role. I don't think they'll bring... Well, I mean, I guess they, you know... For what type of role? I don't know if they...
For superhero roles? Well, they don't cast big names?
No, but like, besides... Robert Downey Jr., who was the original, who launched that whole franchise of the Marvel Universe, who has been like a really big name. They became big names through Marvel, but who else?
It almost seems like when they brought big names in, that failed. Like Edward Norton's Hulk.
Yeah.
He was big. He was really big by that point.
That's true. That's true. But that
failed. Scarlett Johansson was a name.
Yeah. But a minor character.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately speaking, in the franchise, I mean, she's going to get her own movie, I guess.
She dyed her eyebrows blonde in this. Not a fan. Not a fan. Looks bad, ScarJo. Yeah.
So outside of Marvel movies, what did you see?
I saw Quentin Tarantino's ninth film by Quentin Tarantino, Once Upon a Time in Hollyweird. Hollywood.
Starring
Leo DiCaprio and Bradley Pitt.
And what?
Margot Robbie.
Was she in that?
Brief appearances. very brief.
Just emoting every now and then?
It was just her feet were in it.
Yep. Which is fine. Her feet.
Yeah. You got a shot of her feet clean, got a shot of her feet dirty. Mm-hmm. You know, a little bit of everything.
Yep. A little in between.
Yeah.
Wow.
One shot of her scrubbing her feet.
That's not true.
No, that's just in my dreams. So what?
Quentin frickin' Tarantino are probably the biggest divide in our personal relationship, because you don't like him and I love him.
So what did you think of this particular
movie? I liked it quite a bit. Why? I didn't love it, but I liked it quite a bit.
Why?
Because I think this may be Leonardo DiCaprio's best performance ever.
What?
Are you kidding me?
Come on.
Dude, he had such a wide range of emotions, he's so vulnerable.
Have you seen What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
I haven't.
Have you seen The Beach?
The Beach? Talk to me about The Beach.
But
him and Brad Pitt, their friendship is just so pure and beautiful and just so fun to watch. And I love the world he made. Like, it's just like there's a sound outside. We all got alerted. It's just like super, super textured and detailed, and it just feels like super authentic and lived in a way that like you don't see in movies anymore. And it's just like a fun time. I saw it twice. I didn't like it as much the first time as I did the second time. Hmm. And I think it's because you have a lot of, especially me, I have a lot of expectations with Tarantino films, and trying to you're expecting things and you think it's going to go a certain way, but then also it's just like his dialogue's like comfort food to me because I've grown up on it at this point. And so it was just one of these things where it's like, okay, I don't really know where this is going, and then once you see the whole thing, you can kind of step back and see like what he was doing, and it's like, okay, that makes a little more sense. Because the first time I saw it, I didn't find it that satisfying of a watch. Mm-hmm. Like by the end of it, I was kind of like disappointed.
Yeah.
Because I think the ending is for me a little disappointing still. I don't know if we want to. It's pretty new. I don't know if we want to spoil it too much.
Yeah, you spoil it. Fuck it. If these people.
Because I mean, it's basically the Inglourious Basterds ending. It's the three people that Marilyn Manson sends to kill
Charles Manson.
That Charles Manson sends to kill the people living in that house end up, you know, getting killed by Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio's character. And it, to me, it was just like, I guess I was just expecting like him to be more inventive for that ending instead of just going straight back to that. But if you think about it, it's like, what else was he going to do?
Sure.
Like, he got Sharon Tate's estate to sign off on this. They're not going to let him, like, you know, do anything with her that's distasteful.
Yeah. I just felt like there was so much of the movie that... So here's... There were many, many, many really good moments in the movie.
Yes.
That I laughed out loud at or I enjoyed.
Yes. I know what you're going to say, though.
But overall, the overall, they didn't connect for me, or there was just way, way, way... It was a bloated, bloated film.
It's a super indulgent film, and if you're not into Tarantino's shtick, it's gonna feel like that. It's just gonna be a slog to watch.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. I am into his shtick, and I am into him being indulgent. Like, this movie should be like 2 hours long instead of 2 hours and 40 minutes long. But if it's 2 hours long, you don't get to see Leo in The Great Escape, and I think that's awesome. Or you don't get to see them watch his episode of FBI, and I want to love that scene, but, you know, when they do, like, the close-up of the old TV and it's, like, Leo's, and then it's Leo and Brad talking over his episode, that audio sounds terrible. Like, it sounds like they're a million feet away from a microphone in a room, and then it cuts back to them on the couch and their audio's good. So that kind of ruins that scene for me. But I like that kind of indulgent stuff.
See, there was just, to me, I'm like, I don't know. This takes me away from the things I want to see and the things that make it good.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, the whole plot cue or whatever the fuck, however you get down the alphabet for it, of him going to do Westerns in France.
Rome. Spaghetti Westerns.
That's right. Yeah.
All those posters are awesome.
But it's completely unnecessary to the entire movie. Even the intro of him.
It's
like you could set up that he's a washed up actor without these other things. And it really doesn't push forward the plot of anything else that happens in the movie.
Well, so the thing is, I think this is the first 3/4 of this movie is a hangout movie. You're just hanging out with Brad Pitt and Leo.
Yeah.
And every now and then Sharon Tate. You're hanging out with them. You're seeing their lives. You're seeing them interacting in this vintage Hollywood that we don't really have anymore. This LA that we don't have anymore.
Yeah.
And it's just a pleasure to be around these characters because they're just kind of like so well realized. And obviously, like that Rome thing, like Leo going to Rome for 6 months to do all these spaghetti Westerns, like, it's obviously Tarantino wanting to make a bunch of cool old movie posters with Leo in these fake Westerns. and then as a plot device, it's to speed it up to when the night of the Manson murder.
Yeah.
And it's also like Leo's character, like with Brad Pitt being like, hey, I think I'm calling it in. I'm done with this acting thing, or at least, you know, I'm going to try pilot season. But I basically can't afford to have you be my stuntman gopher guy anymore. And so it gives them a reason to, you know, be getting drunk together and having the conflict.
Last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also the ending, and it's this one. So I revisited Inglourious Basterds recently.
Masterpiece.
Which I was not a fan of.
That's insane to me. That is insane.
Yeah, I really like that.
Besides any scene that Christoph Waltz is in, he's amazing. But I will say this. I think this is probably the only other time I've watched it all the way through.
It's a long movie.
Actually enjoyed it quite a bit.
It's fun.
Except for the ending. I really, really dislike the ending.
Ugh.
And because it goes so over the, and same thing with the ending to this week, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, like he's breaking out the flamethrower. It just goes so over the top and crazy. And I'm like, this takes me out of the reality of the movie I was watching.
Really?
Yeah. It removes.
I can see it in Once Upon a Time more, like with the flamethrower and stuff. And like I can see that. Cause that's like in this, like kind of like more grounded movie, but like Inglourious is just like so insane.
Do you know what? There's one part in particular in Inglourious Basterds that every time it bumps me really hard, and it's this,
is it the punching with the bullet things?
No, it's the scene where I think it's Eli Roth is shooting Hitler in the face. Yeah.
And just
it looks like a fake rubber like blow up doll that he's shooting over and over again.
Right.
And it's so over the top, and it takes me out of the reality of the movie completely at that moment. I can't, it looks so fake and over the top. I'm like, this, it completely removes me from the movie. But other than that, I actually watched it again. I'm like, okay, because I mean, Brad Pitt's great in it. Christoph Waltz is great in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's many great elements to that movie. But the scene in the bar and the pub and downstairs
dude,
pub.
Dude, that is, that's
what's
like.
What's wrong with that scene to you?
What scene?
The pub.
Bar
No, that's, I like that.
Okay, because that's literally like that's his best piece of writing he's done, I think.
That's a very good, great, well-written, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the
He's been chasing, trying to recreate the tension in that scene since he's written it. Like Hateful Eight, he's trying to make this really tense, conversational movie, like in that way, and just flubs it compared to that.
Just can't nail it anymore. Yeah. So I mean, there's things I like about Quentin Tarantino. I think he's a fantastic writer. I think his strength is writing. You know, I mean, look at some of the movies he wrote and didn't direct, and how great those movies are. You know, I think his
I don't know, man. I've been thinking about True Romance a lot lately. I think Michael Rapaport almost kills that movie for me. He's so bad. He is so fucking bad.
Is it just because you hate him more now because he gets more weird as he gets older?
I always hated that performance, though. Really? He is such a just like dumbass. It's just like, dude, you are like the dumbass friend in a high school. Like after school special, like get out of my awesome movie.
I wish someone
like Brad Pitt's character should be here instead of you. Like fuck off.
I think part of it is with Quentin Tarantino's where he goes. He's in a kind of. Leans on what you just said about him chasing certain scenes. Now he's almost become like a caricature of himself, where he's trying
he's
to
definitely,
do what he like. He's it's Quentin Tarantino trying to do Quentin Tarantino movies, and it becomes this weird like.
I think that's kind of just an age thing too, of just being set in your ways, and it's like. And I think I told you before this movie came out that I'm kind of not looking forward to it, because I felt like Tarantino was kind of like overindulging in his. Kind of bad tendencies.
Sure.
But then I think this is just such a different movie than kind of what he's been doing, and how like sweet and sentimental it is, and how like vulnerable and honest like the characters are.
Yeah.
And it's just like it's just a different movie in a lot of ways. Like there's no chapters, there's no like weird time staggering and stuff and like dilation. Like it's just kind of this straightforward hangout movie, and then it just kind of trips into this revisionist history thing at the end with the Manson murders.
There was a lot going on too, though, where at times there was a time when like literally there's this big chunk of time where Brad Pitt is not in the movie, and then he reappears for a scene, and I literally looked over it with my friend I was with, I'm like, I forgot he was in the movie.
For Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Yeah, there was such a big chunk of time where he wasn't in there. And then Al Pacino pops back in the movie later, and I'm like, oh, I forgot he was in the movie too. There's just like...
That Al Pacino scene doesn't really work for me.
Yeah, there's just a lot happening.
It's a slow start. It's a bloated movie, but I think it's just like so much fun.
There are some really fun... Like,
the soundtrack's awesome.
Yeah.
And just like that world, like... Whenever someone gets in a car, they're turning on the radio. Whenever someone's getting home, they're turning on the TV. And it's just kind of like brings you to this time when like entertainment and media was kind of like everyone was kind of on the same page. The internet didn't make it so that everyone can be into whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
And it's just like one of my favorite. So let's talk about Margot Robbie as Sharon Tate, because that's kind of like one of the most controversial things in this movie, I feel like. As far as controversies have been complained and levied towards this movie, it's just like her character doesn't have that many lines.
Yeah.
And I get what he's trying to do with her. Like, she's supposed to be this young, talented actress who's married to kind of the hottest director of the time and, you know, just loving life. Like, her life is just like, she's about to become this big star.
Right.
And it's just trying to show her as this sweet thing. And, like, the movie scene, I think that works really well. But then... Whenever she talks, it's just so sugary sweet. She sounds like a children's show character to me.
Yeah, it seems ridiculous.
Yeah, where it's just like, oh, I love books. It's like, yeah, I bet you do, bitch.
I got really annoyed on even on Quentin's behalf recently because in a interview, someone was asking like, so how come, and they were trying to, it was kind of not like a gotcha moment, but trying to like call him out and be like, how come one of the top female actresses right now, you chose to give her so few speaking roles? And it's like, well,
was it a guy or a girl asking?
I think it was a guy, but I don't remember 100%. I don't remember for sure. But I'm just like, dude, you realize he may have had her in mind, but he wrote a script. He didn't write Margot. You know, he wrote a script and then cast her. Like, it could have been any.
Well, apparently she was the one that contacted him when she heard that he was working on it. She wanted to work with him so much.
I mean, yeah.
And like, I get it. She's supposed to be kind of like this lively, like, part of the film underlying it, and there's supposed to be some tension there, wondering, because you're supposedly, most people that see this knows how it's supposed to end,
right?
Knows something about the Manson,
they assume it's
murders
poorly for,
yeah. But like the whole complaining about the amount of lines she got, it's just like, whatever, there's more than one female character in this movie. Like, I think Pussycat, the hippie,
yeah,
I think she's fantastic. I think that's an amazing performance, but people want to attack for the Sharon Tate thing. Because, one, they want controversy. But, two, it's just like, no, you want, like, the nice girl to have... You want to be able to, you know, heap praise on that performance and not on the one of the brainwashed, like, hippie murderer.
Right.
Because you don't want to identify with her. But that performance is amazing.
Yeah, it was. That whole scene... Yeah,
and Dakota Fanning as Squeaky.
Yeah.
It's like you'll have to wake him up. I fucked his brains out earlier today. That's so goddamn... That's such a good line.
That whole scene was good.
Yeah.
That whole part of the movie.
And that's the thing. I think, like, a lot of it is, like, there's good parts. And I don't know. It's just, like, Tarantino's just, like, such a comfort food for me. Like... Even when I don't love his movies, they kind of just fly by because I can like lock into them so easily, and just like, you know, there's way more driving in this than there needs to be.
Yeah.
But L.A. is a driving city, and he puts that in there, and like seeing Brad Pitt just like fucking tear ass in that little blue thing. Yeah, I like it quite a bit. It's not my favorite by him by any means, but it's also not my least favorite. And I think it's definitely worth seeing.
So beyond that, moving forward in the year, is there anything coming out? I'm looking at the list of things I saw that are coming out.
Uh-huh.
And it is a bunch of hot trash, man.
What do you got?
Well,
because I got some stuff I do want to see.
I don't know if there's any. So here's the only movie I think I actually want to see. There's one movie I want to see, and one in another movie I know I will see, even though I don't want to.
Star Wars is that one.
Yes. The of course I'm gonna
I know
see
him
it.
So
I'm
well
I'm gonna see it,
yeah. I mean, I will too.
Exactly.
I don't want
it's
to.
Gonna be bad. I'm gonna see it. The I want I think
maybe I won't see it actually.
Yeah,
now that I'm thinking, maybe
you
I won't.
You would not see it, just
right?
To be that guy.
I could. I'm totally that guy.
I want to see. I have hopes, and I've heard good things about the Joker movie.
See, I don't know, that trailer doesn't really do it for me, and it's freaking Todd Phillips directing the Hangover guy. Like I'm supposed to, like, people say that like I'm supposed to be excited.
Oh, that didn't, I didn't even know that part.
Like, that's weird to me that.
I think there's just something there that could be good. I don't know.
For sure. I mean, Joaquin Phoenix,
yeah.
He's been killing it these last handful of years. He's kind of like one of our great actors.
He could be the method actor type guy that goes in and
yeah.
does a great job.
Maron's in it. Mark Maron's in it.
Is he?
Yeah.
I didn't know
and
that.
He talked about, you know, Phoenix being like weirdo on set and character and stuff.
I would imagine. I just think taking it out of kind of the DC and Batman universe might make it interesting too.
Yeah.
Where it kind of is on its own and you don't have these other,
for sure,
you know, parts, elements that
you don't
have to
Ben
deal
Affleck
with.
In yeah. it. I'm going to get you.
It's just a guy in kind of a, you know, it could be a very interesting character piece, like kind of personal study of like, you know, someone's psyche and downfall. I think it could be interesting. Beyond that, not much. There's a lot of crap. You know, Fast and Furious is out now. Jay and Silent Bob reboot. Fuck that. Another Terminator, another Jumanji. You know.
Don't care.
Yeah, don't know.
I'm kind of interested in the Terminator because it's Cameron. And it's
he's producing, not directing. I don't think he directed
okay,
it.
But it's a sequel to Terminator 2. It's basically saying everything
but
after
it wipes
2's
out the other
yeah,
ones, right?
It's non-canon.
Yeah.
And this is what happens after Terminator 2. So I'm kind of interested in that, but also it's just like, whatever, this is a franchise that's been beaten to death. There's two good movies in this franchise, so I don't have high hopes for it.
The first two, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, really? I actually don't know how many Terminators there are now.
Me neither.
Because like I saw one for was Arnold in one after the second one?
And yeah, he's been in a bunch of them.
Yeah, and then you look it up, you're like, dude, there's been like seven. Yeah. I'm like, what? And a TV show. What?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I may see it, but what do you
So got? I've got my three most excited movies, and I got a bunch of like
Fast and Furious, Hobbs and Shaw.
No. I've heard it's bad.
Crawl.
I heard that's good.
Actually, that's getting great ratings, which is really weird. That's the alligator one I was telling movie. You about, yeah. Sophie.
Alligator.
Okay. So number three most excited film for this next part of the year, The Lighthouse.
Okay.
Robert Pattinson, Willem Dafoe, freaking 19th century working on a lighthouse, just looks fucking miserable. And there's some freaky shit afoot. If you watch that trailer, it's more than what it seems on the surface.
The lighthouse,
and it's filmed on the aspect ratio that it would have been filmed at the time it takes place. So it's like this real small aspect ratio.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Black and white looks. The director did The Witch. That was his first. Movie is amazing.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's on Amazon Prime if you want to stream.
It was on Netflix for all. The one with that, what's that little blonde girl that was in Split?
Anna Taylor-Joy.
Yeah.
So hot.
Super hot.
You see her buttocks at the end of The Witch. So sit through the movie. You see her butt and some side boobs.
Buttocks. Definitely worth it.
Yeah.
Definitely worth it. She is a...
Hindquarters.
Yeah.
Okay, every word you use for butt is so not sexy.
The hindquarters.
Yeah. So Lighthouse, that's up there. And then next one is a little movie called Honey Boy. Do you know anything about this?
No.
So this screenplay was written by Shia LaBeouf.
Oh.
And
it's
based
him?
On his childhood.
Okay.
And
I've
he
heard about
plays
this.
His abusive dad in the film.
Okay.
Oh,
and
shit.
It screened at some festivals and it's getting some good reviews. But Honey Boy, I'm very excited for.
So it's definitely not skewed. In his favor,
I don't care.
Playing his dad.
We should see all of these.
Okay,
everything he says.
So
what's it called?
Honey Boy.
Honey Boy.
I grew up. I'm a big Shia. I have a soft spot for Shia LaBeouf because he was in this Disney show, Even Stevens, that I watched as a kid.
It's not Newsies that you loved, or not Newsies. He was in News. He was in
Holes.
You got to go dig those holes.
She knows.
I don't know what that is.
But so this is all about him being a child star and having like this crazy ass dad.
What's the movie from? Wait, is he in Gangs of New York? Shia LaBeouf. What's the movie? It's like set in the 30s.
Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
No, I know that one. It's set in the 30s, and he's like this newsy kid.
I kind of know what you're talking. I don't know though.
It was definitely a Spielberg film because he was like Spielberg's kid, you know. He was like Spielberg's little prodigy kid.
What?
Yeah.
Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah.
I don't think so, man.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
I don't think so.
Let's see, Shia LaBeouf.
But here's the other thing: he's got another movie coming out in a month or two that looks not half bad. Peanut Butter Falcon, Captain Peanut Butter Falcon or something.
Okay.
It looks like it could be like the emotional indie darling of the year. And I'm calling it, man. LaBeouf, he's winning the second half of this year.
Oh,
buy stock now. Buy stock now and Shia LaBeouf. He's coming back, man.
He's the one?
He's the one. 2019. It's going to end on a LaBeouf.
Dumb and Dumber, Charlie's Angels. He has been in a lot of shit.
He was in Dumb and Dumber?
The sequel.
Oh.
Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
Disturbia. These are not... What the fuck? He was in Caroline in the City. Suddenly
Susan. Don't know what that is.
Suddenly Susan.
It's my favorite must-see TV show. I don't know.
I have a soft spot for him. And
all right.
Okay, so
and
but
what's the last
most one? Anticipated movie of the year is a movie called Parasite by a director called Bong Joon-ho. You guys might know him. He directed Snowpiercer. He's a South Korean director, and he's done some pretty amazing stuff in the past.
Did you like Snowpiercer?
I think it's fun.
Okay.
I think it's fun. Okja is a Netflix movie he made that I think is pretty good.
I haven't heard any of it. So what's this one about?
So I don't really know because I purposely didn't watch the trailer because I know I'm going to see it because I like this guy quite a bit. Him and Park Chan-wook are kind of the two South Korean directors that crossed over here in America. Mm-hmm. So I'm just excited to see it. Like, I it sounds like it's supposed to be kind of like a horror monster movie. I mean, the name Parasite kind of implies that. So he made this movie called The Host that was kind of seen as this great monster movie in the early 2000s. I don't really like that movie, but it shows that he kind of can do interesting stuff with that genre. So I'm excited to see it.
Okay.
I just kind of dig South Korean filmmaking.
So Lighthouse, Honey Boy, and...
Parasite.
Parasite. Now, you mentioned a trailer you wanted to watch before we...
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Let me do some runners-up real quick. Okay. So The Joker was almost on that list. Ad Astra is the space one with Brad Pitt. I feel like that one's been in production a while because I guess the CGI is pretty crazy in it, so I'm wondering how that's going to turn out. Okay, so there's a movie coming out called Lucy in the Sky. It's Natalie Portman, and it's directed by Noah Hawley, who did like Fargo and Legion, the TV shows. He's overstretched himself these past few years, so I could also see that bombing. And then finally...
Your sex tape.
Yeah. So this movie, I don't know, man. The director is one of the Daniels. The Daniels directed Swiss Army Man, the one where...
Okay.
I just read a synopsis of this. It's these two... There's this band in like Alabama dies, and they're trying to hide how he dies from their friends. Interesting. That's the synopsis up, and then like a Roman candle coming out of his crotch. And it's called Death of Dick Long. I think it's kind of funny and cute, but also just like a little too much.
A little ridiculous.
Yeah, but...
besides that, there's a lot of shit coming out. It's just G Terminator. Where are you at on the scary story scenes, which can go either way, but you know.
It's also supposed to be like a kid's movie. Like I've heard people complain like, oh, it's not actually...
Yeah. A little edge, but...
Get a fuck.
Yeah. All right. Do the...
Oh, yeah. Okay, so there's this movie coming out called The Fanatic. We're made. So I want you and Sophie to watch in Travolta, his character, and the choices that were made for that character.
Okay, let's...
It's a beautiful thing. I'm very excited for it. I'm going to see it opening night, maybe.
I'm excited for it now.
That looked like an ad for that movie Parasite. Your computer's listening to us.
This is Fanatic.
It's Raider. John Travolta.
Hollywood.
A perfect double feature with Once Upon a Time. I love it.
Hey, Hunter. Hunter, over here.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Dunbar.
Look at him. Look at him.
Wow.
Is Hunter Dunbar here tonight?
Look at that fucking haircut.
That's enough.
I need to get an autograph. Don't let him do this to me.
I'm a fan.
I'm a number one fan.
Is it difficult to find famous people's houses?
I use my StarMap app. You have to be careful. I don't want you to be accused of stalking.
Hey, you can't just come to my private residence looking for me.
Listen, pal.
John,
I don't know how you found me, but I don't ever want to see you in this neighborhood
like
again.
What's with the side of the head thing?
Yeah.
It's literally just like, let's make every bad hair choice all at once. Can the listeners hear the trailer? Or is it just us?
Yeah, they know.
And this trailer also like gives away way too much of the movie. Like, unless there's some crazy twist, you
can
like
see the
whole
thing. I just wanted an
autograph!
Wait! Wait! Wait!
How do you mind?
Oh. That guy's face when he's like about to stab him with the knife.
That doesn't look like it was made by a real studio.
Right? Like, it's like an algorithm.
Like all the things it said that like the producers and the studios, I'm like, those don't look like real. Those look like something like from a fake movie
right.
They just made up.
One was just binary, right, well, zeros and ones.
I'll see it. I'll watch it. It's got to be at least as good as Venom. So
At what point when you're tied up are you just like, hey man, I'll give you an autograph.
Maybe just not one autograph.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's the movie roundup, guys. Some of those I will see. I'm just waiting for. Oh man, all my favorite filmmakers kind of fell off, and I don't know.
Yeah, they're all dead or old.
Darren Aronofsky makes shit movies now.
What was it? Mother was his last one. Terrible. I haven't seen it yet.
Noah was terrible before that.
I've heard some things about Noah. I kind of want to watch it.
Oh, it's so bad.
Oh yeah.
It's. Although I watched The Wrestler not long ago and Black Swan, I love those. Those are great, but yeah,
that's kind of like the thing that I've loved the most about this Tarantino movie coming out. He's like one of the last directors where it's just like everyone who's into movies are going to talk about it.
He's at least doing his thing.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, he sparks conversation. Like whether you like his movies or you disliked this one or liked it, like yeah. There's a conversation to be had. It's a dense film, and it's a film that doesn't get made that much anymore. It's like these tentpole movies are just Marvel and Star Wars now. You know, every now and then DC will get a hit in there,
right?
And then there'll be some random thing,
Disney live action yeah. movie.
But then it's like, you know, you have directors. There's like people like Wes Anderson and Nolan a little more than Wes Anderson, where it's like it is a big deal when a movie comes out, but not in the way, like especially like in the 60s or the 70s.
Yeah.
Like it's not an event like that anymore. And Tarantino still, he's kind of the last director to get that status.
Yeah, I think Nolan peaked. I think Wes Anderson peaked.
Yeah.
The Coen brothers peaked.
I think Coen brothers are up there.
What else do they do? I mean, they haven't done anything great in a while, though.
People think True Grit's great.
I didn't
think it was great. I liked
never finished it. Actually, I
really
no, because it's just like it's kind of like all right, yeah.
Yeah, it's Western.
It's a remake. All right.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think Burn After Reading's great. A Serious Man's great.
Serious Man was interesting. I don't know if it was. I don't know if I loved it. I don't know if I'd watch it again. It doesn't have the rewatchability of like No Country.
No Country is like their masterpiece at this point.
Fargo's my favorite movie of theirs.
I think Oh Brother Where Art Thou, that was my favorite.
That's a great movie too.
That's just like fun to watch.
Lebowski to me is the movie that I can start a lot, but mm-hmm. I don't know how many times I've actually finished it.
Yeah,
because you just like, all right, I get it. You know, you don't really need to watch it to know what the whole movie.
It's one of those movies though. When I do watch it all the way, it's like, damn, that's a really good fucking movie.
It's fun. It's a good movie. Yeah. No, it's a great movie, but it's kind of become.
Honestly, like I do kind of feel like we are in a transitional period for filmmakers, and I don't know though, but like I'm super into Denis Villeneuve, and I'm so excited for Dune next year.
Yeah.
And I, you know, Sicario and Blade Runner 2049 are two of my favorite movies of all time, and I'm really excited with S. Craig Zoller, what he's been doing. Like Bone Tomahawk I think is like a modern classic Western, and I've heard good things about his newest movie. I haven't seen it yet, Dragged Across Concrete. And I feel like we're kind of getting to that point now where there are some filmmakers and directors that are kind of breaking away for their generation.
Well, hopefully we see that.
But it's definitely far and few between, like especially compared to like the 90s when Tarantino was around, and you know, him and Soderbergh and Rodriguez and Spike Lee and stuff kind of blew open the movie scene again. And
well, the new directors get buried in by these tentpole movies. Like you don't.
Well, and anytime anyone has a slightly interesting, you know, sci-fi indie movie, they get swept up into the Marvel machine and like direct a couple of these basically movies that are made by committee with the
long list of producers. Directorial, like,
and choices. It's like the only every now and then do you get a Logan or a Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah. Well, what's his name is doing a follow up to Thor Ragnarok, which I'm very excited about.
Me too. It's like Natalie Portman, isn't it?
She's gonna be in it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think she's like a Lady Thor.
They're gonna make her Lady Thor. Yeah, Miss Captain Thor,
Miss Marvelous Miss Thor.
All right, Sophie, you ready to talk for a while?
Sure.
You got the news.
I don't think I can follow this whole conversation.
Well, let's get Sophie. Let's get the news, Sophie.
I mean, we jammed like 8 months of movie in there. You only have to do
that
a week.
A lot of movie. All Most right. of this, I don't know if it's even this week. It's all just like.
All right, let's.
I do my best not to follow the news.
Yeah, me too.
All right.
I just take peeks at headlines. Feel disgust. Exactly feel disgusted at our society.
I do my news. Yeah. I only read the headlines, and we discover the rest together.
Right. Maybe read a first paragraph and a last paragraph of an article.
All right. Well, here is the news with Sophie.
And now, the Social Hour News with Sophie Tomey.
Did you see the news this week? Yeah, neither did I. It's definitely not because we were drinking and getting high. All the stuff on TV is the same shit, but on a different day. So I found some interesting stories to talk about today. Accuracy not guaranteed, little disclaimer. Guaranteed is news with a little Sophie flavor. So here's the Social Hour News. Without further ado, let's get into all the cool stories that I've gathered just for you.
All right, Sophie, what do you got for us?
Okay, so I don't know if I said this when we were already recording, but I went out of my way this week to find stories that weren't about murders or dead babies. So my first article is, the headline is, anti-sex toilets will soak users with water jets and sound alarm. So apparently this is a problem.
I don't get it. What? Read the headline again. I don't get it.
Anti-sex toilets will... there needs to be a comma. I just added that. Let me start over. Anti-sex toilets will soak users with water jets and sound alarm.
People that are trying to fuck the toilets?
We need some...
People who are fucking in the bathrooms?
How's the toilet determined?
So if you're like sitting on the toilet and if you weigh too much or if you just... or like...
Also,
this is the weight of a man and an attractive woman.
It's just a man.
Just a giant.
It's a really specific a town, one. Too. It's not just like a general thing that's coming out. It's in the town of Porthcawl, and they're designed to prevent antisocial behavior such as vandalism and drug taking. Well, why are they calling it an anti-sex toilet
Can
then?
Can you beat off in the toilet?
I would hope so.
This is America.
New England or Britain. Not New England. I meant England. Regular England.
Regular England.
Old England.
Old England. A seaside town is planning to install public toilets that will stop sexual activity by spraying amorous occupants with water and sounding an alarm.
Man, England's got a lot of problems, it seems like. This freaking surveillance state that they got going on. Did you see this big article about how all these surveillance companies over in England have facial recognition tech? And there's just a million cameras over there.
Yeah, same with... I guess it's the same in America.
There's not that many cameras compared to, like, over there, like, per like, square mile or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's crazy. I didn't know about that. I always figured that we were, like, the most Big Brother country.
They're way more... It's like literally getting to like V for Vendetta style.
I don't doubt it. But also these.
Not so, literally getting to that point. But
they're not allowed to have guns over there. So
I know a bunch of pussies.
Shoot some people, man. Fucking shoot them.
Blow your fucking brains out.
To answer your question, the toilets will have weight sensitive floors to make sure only one person is using each cubicle at a time.
They could never do that in America. Cause we're just too, what's the weight limit of one person?
God, I don't know, but I feel like, yeah, what would you say is, like, the average weight of two people, like 300 pounds?
No.
More than that.
Yeah.
400?
Wait, in America, what's the average weight of people, two people?
What's the average weight of together? One person in America?
Man, that's a good question.
200?
$2? 200 is probably, like, average.
I bet, like, the average woman's probably, like, 150, 160.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable. I don't know.
This would be a good way, though, to make sure that the fat uggos don't use the same bathrooms as us.
Least fat uggos that want to fuck.
So the average 20-year-old man in America weighs about just under 200 pounds.
20 though, that's pretty young.
So let's see, what is the average weight for men, height? That's men. Let's see, what is it for women? Average American woman.
I feel like in America though, we need to up our public restroom game on multiple fronts.
Yeah.
Like Like, let's get, like, floor to ceiling stalls. Get rid of urinals completely.
My God.
Urinals are fucked.
You don't like urinals?
Fuck urinals, man.
I'm glad I don't have to deal with that.
Yeah, I want more privacy. And I guess there is, like, some science to it. Like, if you're standing the right way, you're not splashing piss all over yourself. But no one's told me the way it's designed. But no one's told me the right distance. Like, I just always feel like I'm pissing all over myself.
Maybe you're just too drunk when you're pissing. Yeah. There's at big arenas and things like that. There's still
the troughs.
That have, yeah, the big troughs, man.
That's so.
That's like childhood trauma.
Yeah, that's
type
fine.
Shit. No, that's character building. Yeah, we need more troughs.
I'm very scent sensitive. And I don't.
Yeah, but you girls all.
You
have
smell
your
like
own.
You've had trauma in a past life.
You guys all have your own.
I
stall.
Do, dude.
Women's bathrooms are always better than guys.
Yeah.
No, I
remember going in my junior high
maybe,
girls' bathroom and being like, "Oh my god, there's a fucking couch in here."
Yeah, but then
like just for resting
all over too, and we always have to sit no matter what. So like, if there's like,
you can hover.
You guys are lazy.
No, but
you can hover.
Yeah, you can. But then what happens if you're drunk and you accidentally sit on it? I mean, I'm very like, I'm kind of a germaphobe. So like, I'll always.
That's the other thing. I'm kind of. That's why I don't like urinals.
Yeah. See, I'm not at all.
I'll use the paper thing if it's there. The toilet
for
seat.
For urinals?
No. For urinals. When I take a shit in a urinal.
You're very. Yeah, no wonder you don't like bathrooms. You're really doing it wrong.
I just don't like people seeing my bare ass when I pull my pants down to my ankles.
Women
and
don't have to deal with that. I feel like the only reason why they don't have like open toilets for women is because women would be like, I love how comfortable you are with your body. Like,
can I ask you guys a question? Where are you guys at with couples who like go to the bathroom in front of each other? I don't mean peeing. I mean like, they like take a shit in the bathroom with the other one in there. Where are we with the other one in there? Yeah,
I wouldn't.
It
like
just
it
depends.
Personally.
I've had a relationship where that's happened before,
her,
but it was like
her shit in front of you or you.
No, she's
her.
Peed.
That's fine. I think I don't.
Peeing is one.
There
thing.
Might not have been shitting actually. I might have peed too.
That because that seems like a that's a.
I think pooping is something that's like a you time thing. Yeah. You know. I was watching.
I kind of don't
movie,
care though.
And would there was. Like,
I'm a fucking animal, dude. I don't care.
Well, there was like a wife in a taking like a nice relaxing bath,
uh-huh.
And yeah. Then her husband came in and took a shit, and I was like, "That is super rude." Like she's just trying to relax, and he's like taking a shit.
Yeah,
next
they
to
have
her face.
Two bathrooms. Too.
Yeah, and my like, friend was like, "Oh, well, that's one. Normal. Like when you're close enough with somebody, like you don't even care." I'm like. I'm pretty
that's just
sure
like killing
I would
a vibe.
Still care.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Just like yeah.
That's not.
I think I'd care. I like my own time to poop too.
Yeah, and I don't want to poop in front of someone else either. Like,
because what
it's
if it's
weird.
One of those ones where you have to like keep wiping? And
oh my god!
Yeah, it's like trying to get peanut butter on a shag carpet.
Like, what are you supposed to do? Like, just like give up after a certain point? Like,
I'm gonna need that shower actually.
Yeah,
can you get out of the bath because I'm gonna need that shower.
Yeah.
This is. All right. Well, I don't know. I don't get how. So just weight sensitive floors. Don't they have bigger
no,
problems?
No, there's more. So any violent movement will set off a water jet to soak users, which sounds hot in the right like context. Sound an alarm and automatically open the doors, which. That's the part that is a little bit.
Open the doors is a little much. If you,
yeah, you're going to get a fucking sex
so
offender.
So if you're too fat, you're going to get fucking a bidet you weren't waiting for, and the door pops open, everyone sees you're soaking fat.
Like
ass.
Just because you're fat, it's like a violent poop you're taking, and it's like pew, pew with the waters. Everyone just looks at you like soaking and ashamed, sitting on the toilet.
Yeah, that sounds not great.
The water jets will also be used to prevent smoking and drug taking, and the walls and floors will be resistant to graffiti.
Hmm.
Okay.
It seems like a lot of work.
They're also preventing people from sleeping in the bathrooms. This planning documents for the facilities say rough sleepers will be deterred by a time limit
rough
on how
sleepers.
Long a person... okay, so A, you're taking a long shit, like longer than you planned, and then you get shamed for it.
They're
or
always
B,
longer
like,
than I plan.
Anybody who's sleeping
every now and then,
on
though,
purpose
it just
kind of
like falls right out.
Oh,
you wipe and you're like, I didn't even need to.
Yeah,
yeah, you're like, I'm good.
You stitch it back onto the
like, I just pitched a perfect game.
Yeah, blow your nose with the pet toilet paper and then just throw it
I'm
out.
I'm going to say typically, though, people who are sleeping in public toilets aren't rough sleepers.
Yeah, they're passer outers
they're
everywhere.
They're passer outers for yeah. sure.
I took rough sleepers just to mean like transients. Homeless.
Hobo.
Yeah.
The littlest hobo.
Okay.
I don't know, man. This is just, you know, some overbearing government
that
shit.
That just seems like a lot. Although, I mean, I get not
wanting,
just pass out in the park.
I get not
don't.
Wanting those things to happen in a bathroom, but just don't let those people in your bathroom.
You know, in Japan, they have bathrooms that like play music while you're in the stall, like to cover your shitting sounds.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah. But then also they have some that are just holes in the ground. You just squat right
above
it.
What do you
it.
Think about a public bidet? Like, I kind of wish bidets were, like, more, like, normal here mm-hmm. in America. But, like, can you imagine using the same one that everybody uses?
Yeah, I don't know if I
want
to use
I
one
I wouldn't
that's
want
blowing
that.
Yeah,
water
know.
Up into everyone's butthole.
And everybody's butt.
I also
you know what's crazy? In India, they don't use toilet paper. They wash their ass with just their hand in water.
Oh, that's... Yeah, I don't think I
do you have
that.
You guys ever used a bidet?
I have never used a bidet, but I would love to.
I feel like I have. I feel like I know the sensation of that.
That could be from other things. I don't know if I feel like the idea of water. I don't know the velocity. Can you change the velocity?
You can change it. You can change
they would have to standardize that if it's like. If you know, for, going like, going across the country.
Yeah.
If you get a personal bidet-o, like, you can,
bidet-o.
Like...
get one of them personal
you
bidet-os.
Say, yeah, you say bidet-o.
I say bidado. But you can totally freaking change, like, a lot of different settings. And,
well, like the temperature of the water.
I want one with like LED lights on it, so it like lights up the bowl of the toilet.
Yeah, it's like the laser. Li- it's like the
it's
fountain
like
show
the fountains
Caesars.
In front of. Oh yeah, we were totally on the same page. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, it is magical and beautiful. Ready for the next story?
Yeah, let's.
Okay. Airport worker fired for giving traveler note reading quote. You ugly, unquote.
That's so mean.
That's so mean.
What's the? I saw that headline. I didn't read the article. What's the context? It's like, did they just like?
Was she being rude?
Yeah. Was they just running by him and they're like they've like chased him down and be like, hey, I have something for you. Or was what happened?
Yeah.
Okay, so this was in New York, an airport security.
There
worker.
You go, right there, New York.
First problem.
Fucking.
So they've been fired for handing the note. The June incident came to light this week after a passenger, Neil Strassner, obtained security video through a public records request and posted it to YouTube. The video from Greater Rochester International Airport shows the worker handing Strassner the note.
Does it have the worker's name or gender?
Let's
see. TSA.
He didn't think much of it. Okay. The airport worker handed Strassner the note. He didn't think much of it, continued toward his gate. That's when he says the woman yelled out, it was a woman.
U-G-L-Y. You
she
ain't
yelled
got no
out,
alibi. You,
you gonna open the note?
Why'd you say it like
God.
That, Sophie? Why'd you say it in the voice?
Because that's the words that were written. It was a direct quote.
Sassy black women work at the TSA.
That is kind of what... Strassner says that when he did, the woman burst out laughing. He later complained to her supervisor.
That's so rude.
The transportation security.
How hot is a TSA agent hot?
Does it have a picture?
It's a TSA agent, first of all. I think you just answered your own question.
I'm just curious. I'm just asking questions here.
We need to know.
I think she felt ugly on the inside, and that's why she gave him the note.
Well,
does it have a picture
of her? Moral of the story, whatever.
Is Strasser, does there picture him?
There was no picture of either of them.
That is the question. Is he ugly?
Was she wrong? But where's the lie?
Goes to court.
I'm
going to
go ahead and assume that she wasn't wrong. I don't see a picture of him, but...
They would have pictured him if he wasn't ugly.
Right.
Yeah.
If he was
good
looking, they would have been like, look how wrong
she said
she
he
was
ugly. Yeah.
But instead, they're like, scrub him from the internet. Yeah. So then he can't.
God, plus, like, that's got to be, how ugly do you have to be to like feel the passion to give somebody a note like that?
I don't even think it's that much though. You can just be kind of ugly and then someone's just a real cunt.
Yeah. That's yeah. That's a combination right there.
Yeah. I don't want to put it all onto this guy's ugly face.
How bored do you have to be too? Like,
dude, how suicidal? Like what? You're at your ugly job and you give a someone. Yeah.
There's like so much terrorism there and you're just like handing out notes like yeah. you ugly.
Well, I wasn't exactly going there. Yeah. There's so much terrorism at your job. What are you doing passing notes?
She's pissing people off.
She's obviously paying attention.
I was going to save this for the plane, but.
But I mean, she got fired. That's what should have happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. The TSAs are the worst. They're the worst. Anyone who works at the airport is a fucking. Like psychopath and the worst people. We for some reason we decided to put
especially New York ones
idiots with GEDs in fucking windbreakers, and they're like our fucking gatekeepers to everything that's goddamn important in life now, and they are the ones that keep us from doing anything that's actually meaningful. I fucking hate
that's what, you're putting a lot on these guys' shoulders. Yeah.
But like, what? No, but they like, you know,
they're the reason that I drink so much.
But like, you know, anything.
If it wasn't for them.
They're just there to slow down your day with like, you know, anyone who has just a little bit of juice and a windbreaker. Just
is this 9 ounces?
Captain America. Yeah, exactly.
Deece. For me, the action is the juice.
Full circle. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I've tried really hard at many points in my life to get a job, and never once, even if I am still jobless, have I thought, I think I'm going to try the airport. Like, you have to be, like really desperate.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that's...
It's like, I'd be cool chucking bags, but...
Even people who work at, like, the airport, you know, even, like, clerks for airlines are terrible in general.
Well, dude, it's a thankless job.
Sure. Yeah, I thank him every time.
Yeah, fucking
the way you
right.
said that.
I bring him notes.
I thank him every time.
I write him notes that say, you
I make
ugly.
Sure those motherfuckers know I'm here.
Yeah, read this after we take off.
Yeah.
It definitely says something good, though.
Don't ever say that to an airline worker. Read this after we take off. Can you get on this plane real quick? Don't read it till I'm up in the air.
Once we hit the point of no return, literally. I mean, anyway, I've said too much.
Once we're in cruising altitude, then open this.
You'll have lost contact with the jet.
Don't worry, I'm an airline marshal.
they call us airline marshals, right?
Isn't that a thing?
Well, I think they're called
U.S.
Marshals. Just air marshals.
Air marshals?
Airline marshal. As opposed to other marshals in the air.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute. Like an airline marshal or just, I mean, are you just out there in the air?
You know, mostly like, you know, little charter jets.
Yeah. Sky, you know, net jets, all those.
Whatever quack pad was flying in Tailspin. Or DuckTales.
DuckTales. Tailspin.
Tailspin.
Tailspin. You got it right there. All right. What's the...
Launch pad. Quack pad?
I don't know.
There's a lot of like vague memories.
There's so much going back and forth right now. I just kind of checked out like 3 minutes ago.
DuckTales. Tailspin. I remember the DuckTales theme song.
DuckTales. Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
You might solve a mystery.
Uh-huh.
Or rewrite history. DuckTales. Woo! Don't act
classic.
Like you didn't watch it, Sophie.
Gizmo Duck.
Gizmo.
Personal hero of mine.
Sophie.
So what's up? What's happening in the news?
What's
slow news day.
DuckTales.
Woo. Okay, let's do one more. I'm hungry. Let's do one more and then let's get
out of
here.
I keep running into that. I'm so sorry.
So sorry.
So, you know, it was a slow news day. When you can't do stories about dead babies, things really dry up. So this
Name
next
your
one.
Sex tape.
Ooh. This is the headline. This is what prompted me to put this in our news today.
Okay.
Here it is.
Woman puts octopus on face.
Okay.
Ends up in hospital. Seems pretty straightforward because...
I don't know. Why'd she end up in a hospital?
Well, because...
I feel like it skipped over a bunch of stuff.
Did it bite her?
There's
like, she had an octopus
so
on her face, and then later she went to the
bite.
Hospital.
They bite. They have beaks.
Are octopus...
Wait.
Oh, shit. It did bite her.
Yeah.
They have little beaks.
It literally, the second sentence is, not only went viral, but it also led to a serious infection after the creature bit her chin. So,
Jesus.
Yeah, it bit her.
Who puts an octopus on their face? That sounds like an Asian thing for...
She was a tourist. Yeah. That's a tourist thing.
Where was she at, does it say? Near the ocean.
She was participating in a salmon fishing derby in Tacoma Narrows on Saturday.
Oh, that's local news, kind of.
Yeah, local news. Hi, I'm Sophie. Here is some local news about American retail idiots.
Wow.
Sorry. I'm still not used to
censorship.
Offending people. I'm used to offending people, but I'm not used to trying not to.
Okay. You don't have to try not to on this show.
I know. Like, watching her struggle not to say the N-word.
Yeah.
I never try
not to
say the N-word.
Do you know how many times I have to censor it out? Yeah, she just says it. I have to blank it out so many times. It's terrible. So I can't keep covering for you.
However, she saw another opportunity for glory when she spied an octopus one of her friends had caught. I grabbed it off the hook and said, take a picture for the photo contest.
Take a pic. That sounds like a made-up sentence. Take a photography picture for the photo contest.
She put the cephalopod on her face.
Oh, fuck this writer. I fucking hate the writer of this.
And the
goddamn article
covered her ears and nose. I'm going to finish the rest of this in a British accent. Okay. My best impression of a British accent, just to clarify. It was perfect for a fun photo. I can't. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Except when the octopus bit down on her chin. My friends noticed my face had changed.
Holy shit, there's an octopus biting your face.
We couldn't get the beak to dislodge. It was like a prong.
Oh, man. That sounds troublesome.
Did she win the photo contest?
You know what?
It turns
sadly,
out that
it doesn't
there
say.
Wasn't an actual photo contest. They're just talking about social media. The photo contest.
Oh,
that's
shit.
The contest. Whoever gets the most likes.
Okay, but here is where she is a little stupid because she.
We haven't gotten the part where she's stupid.
No, it gets worse. So once they dislodged the octopus from her face, she bled profusely for 30 minutes. And she said, there's still a pus pocket and spot under my chin. But no, there's more. But wait, hold on.
But wait, there's more. A second octopus with
a
pus pocket.
She waited 2 days.
Perfect.
Until the fishing derby was over to seek medical attention. Nothing says importance like the word fishing and derby put together in an event.
How many fish she caught? How many steelhead did she come up with?
2 days, man.
Her face, the left side of her face was paralyzed. They took me in stat, but the IVs didn't work, and my arm swelled up like an elephant. Maybe because he waited 2 days, now she's on antibiotics.
My arm was like an elephant's trunk, like a octopus's tentacle.
Like a cephalopod.
I just hate how she's trying to turn this into some inspirational, educational thing.
Yeah,
she's like,
bitch, you picked up a wild animal. This underwater monster.
This is definitely something. Listen, this is gonna go in my coffee table book entitled "Something That Would Definitely Never Happen to a Black Person."
Because they don't do fishing derbies for the most part, as far as I know.
The realm of the white person for sure, 100%.
Don't even just say white people This is just the realm of idiots who are
But this, Jews aren't doing this shit. Asians aren't doing this
shit. I can see a Jew doing
that. No, a Jew is not putting, no Jew is fishing, first of all. And not for octopus.
No, not necessarily.
Yeah, the moil catches it for them.
It always has to be something about race, but
When you say Jew, I'm thinking I could be Jewish and you don't know it.
You're not. Though.
And also, you're talking so much shit, but I want you to guess the race of this person.
White.
You're right, but that's not
white's
relevant.
Not a race. Also, white's not a race. White.
White? Yeah, I want to know the exact country. I want to know the region. I'm just kidding. It doesn't matter.
Are they pure
or
are they some Italian trash?
It's probably...
She's blonde. She's blonde.
Okay, so
pure. This is her, takeaway from the whole thing. I want people not to do what I did. She said, my advice is know what That's you're good. Touching beforehand, which is just like common sense. I'm going to pee my pants.
Was that part of the article? She's going to pee her pants?
Oh my God. I wish they hadn't put this in the article, but it says, and honestly, she might not be pure because I don't know how to pronounce her last name. And I don't like the way just that she might not be pure because I just off what you said. It
don't
said,
put this on me. That's you. That's all you. That's all Sophie.
So this lady, they said her last name. I'll try it. I think it's Biseglia is my best.
Biseglia.
She did get revenge of sorts. She boiled and grilled the creature and served it on a salad. Right? I don't like
revenge.
Why did they add that?
No, her that photo. Octopus got revenge on you. You're not the hero of the story, lady.
Yeah, yeah, it was the octopus. And then it says her photo has since received worldwide attention,
is
but Biseglia won't find out if it won the $100 photo contest until later this week. It's in her mouth. It's like straight up in her mouth.
Oh,
were
gross.
You picturing like size
like
of her head?
Weird.
Yeah, that's
if this was like animated,
that's barely an octopus.
This bitch,
I hate her.
That thing? Are you kidding me?
And look at that shirt.
What does it say? Stay.
It says namaste.
Stay white.
Stay,
dude.
Stay pure.
Probably.
No.
Stay
pure.
There'd
be an H before the I, Sophie.
Oh. The last sentence of this article is, of course, if she doesn't win after all she's been through, that would add insult to injury.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Okay. So that's that article. That was the last article today.
Learned a lot.
I bet you're all wishing I did some stuff about dead babies.
All right. Well, there it is. That's the news with Sophie. And no dead babies this week. But come back next week. And you'll definitely hear about some dead babies. Right, Sophie?
That's correct.
Okay. All right, guys. Let's see. Go see some movies. After we see some more movies coming up soon, we'll talk about the rest of these ones that happened
absolutely.
At the end of this year. And how
if
they turned out the way we think they're going to.
They always do.
That's
the one thing about movies, predictable.
Always going to happen. As for me, guys, Lewiston this Friday at Shooters and Sunday at Spokane Comedy Club at the Dope Show. You can find Sophie Tomey at Etsy Bravo headlining the show down there at in Pullman, Washington. So go check that out. I'll be hanging out just in the crowd, just chilling. And then the 29th through the 31st, I will be at Spokane Comedy Club with Nick Swartzen, and then at Tacoma Comedy Club on the 1st with Michael Glatzmeyer. We're get back on the road doing our Nearly Famous show September, October, November. We've got a bunch of dates, so go to deescomedy.com/calendar and check out all the dates coming up. And that's it, guys. Sam, you're still off social media, right? You're not doing anything. You don't want people to follow you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. All right, guys. For the Social Hour, I am Deese. For Sam Vidovich, Sophie Tomey, thanks, guys. And now for my weekly apologies. I'd like to apologize to Quentin Tarantino, Captain Marvel, Sharon Tate, Charles Manson, Keanu Reeves, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Star Wars, and white people. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will see you next week.
I want a young, sexy Wolverine.
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production.
And part of the Pants Pending Studios podcast network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios!